Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, saints of the Most High Yah. This is Elder Rufus from the Straightway Truth Ministry down here in Straightway, Georgia, coming to you from two locations today, Blog Talk Radio and from YouTube Live. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Those of you that are in Blog Talk, I need to get a sound check from you in Blog Talk. Got a 10. Let me get a few more. I know it's only a few of you in there. Most of you are on YouTube Live, but I still want to get more. Someone else in there. Let me get a sound check. I think that's Teacher Shane. Thank you, Teacher Shane, whoever that is from Straightway. Bless you. Sound like y'all can hear me well, hear me good. Glory, glory, glory to the King. Hallelujah. Saints, bless y'all. It is awesome and exciting and a wonderful thing to be here with you in this level of fellowship that we have called the Blog Talk Radio that we do in a brother segment. We get a chance. We have a rotation of elders and teachers It's just a privilege to be able to come before you. I was supposed to be before you last week, but Elder's schedule did not allow me to come before you last week. but I'm here this week. My schedule's gotten even worse. But it's a sacrifice. This one I knew I would at least be at home so we wouldn't make it happen. Hallelujah. Last time I was like I could be on the road. I was traveling. Didn't know if I was going to be available. I didn't want to rush. I didn't want to shortchange the Saints. I didn't want to have to put just some crap together for you. You know what I mean? Just have my mind on something else above this. And so Teacher Shane was gracious. He was rescheduled me. And we are here. Hallelujah. We are here. So, again, welcome to all of you that are here fellowshipping with us for this broadcast. Shout out to all of you Saints. I see South Carolina in the house. I see my brother Shannon in the house. Bless you, my brother. Mama Tawana in the house. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. I think that's Teacher Shane there at Straightway. Sister Heidi, I see you there up on Blog Talk on the radio side of it. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. It's nice to have the double option. You know, it's nice you'd be able to get on here, or if you can't get to internet and all that, you can call the number and just listen on Blog Talk. Hallelujah. Our family for Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you. I'm not sure exactly who that is. I can't see it. Is that our Philippine family? It's a family of folk. I can't see it. It's too small on the thing, but shout out to you guys. I appreciate y'all joining us for the fellowship. Let's handle a few minor announcements and things that we need to cover real quick, and then we will get into the question and answer session. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Now, again, I know there were two brothers that had already sent me questions. They sent them through Marco Polo. And you know who you are if you're listening. If you can, send those messages to me on text them to me right now. Go ahead and text them to me, okay? Because I was not able to retrieve your messages off of Marco Polo before I set this up. And I kind of remember them, but I don't want to miss anything. So if you will be so kind to go ahead and text those messages, those questions to me, we will be fine. And if anybody else got questions, you can email them to me. My email address, let me put that in here. It's well, I don't think I'm able to type in YouTube. Let me see. I don't think I can. I can see y'all, but I can't type. But type my email in there, beloved. rcarswell44@yahoo.com. You can email me that, or those that know my number, you can text them, text the question to me. Hallelujah. All right. Glory to the King. So we've been rocking and rolling. Y'all saw, last time you saw videos from us, we were in Indiana helping out the Goshen Saints up there, Brother Daniel. And that's going along pretty well. We're actually looking forward, hopefully, to getting back up there and helping out even more with that project. That's a really big project Goshen took on. So we're hoping to get back up there and take care of that as well. So glory to the King. The building going on all around Israel. Hallelujah. Building is going along, all around Israel. We got building in Indiana. We got building in all parts of Tennessee. We got building in Bama. We got building in Georgia. Building everywhere. I saw brothers out in North Carolina taking down a garage and doing some building, moving a home and all that good stuff out there with Ranger. And I mean, we got stuff going on everywhere. I saw some brothers doing some work and building some things in Texas. So it's just a beautiful thing to put your hand to the plow and to get after it for the Most High. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful thing to do it. So one announcement I want to make is for all you brothers and sisters that sent your pastor appreciation, a pastoral vacation offering. I want to commend each and every one of you. We really knocked it out the park this time. We really did. We have a set that I've set that we meet. And the majority of the time we make that, I think there was maybe once where the Georgia Saints just kicked in a little bit of extra money to make sure we kept that standard. But other than that, you guys have been great. This time you guys have gone well above the standard. And I know Pastor Dow, I know his family, they're going to appreciate it. You guys have seen the high level of anointing that comes on Pastor Dow when he is rested and he is functioning in the element that he needs to be functioning in right now. I'm extremely grateful for men like Elder Mitchell. I'm extremely grateful for men like Brother Brett, my son-in-law. I'm extremely grateful for men like Brother Scott. You know, I'm talking about Deacon Gorman, Brother Greg, all the brothers that know how to, and I can't name all you brothers that have really put your hand in. I'm not even going to name the brothers that are here, like Brother Jonathan and Tim and me and Brother James and all the brothers that have really put their hand to the plow when it comes to this block thing, because Pastor has been the master mason here in the ministry for all these years, almost 3 decades of doing it, and it is definitely time for him to be able to sit down. It is time for him to be able to sit down and not lay no more blocks. He can guide. He should be able to instruct. But we should have enough in this ministry to be able to take care of any need that is going forward. And shout out to all you brothers that are going to come behind, young brothers that are going to learn this trade, because block is the way to go. Pastor has made it extremely clear. Block is the way to go. That's the way to go. So we're going to be building a ton with block. Now, even though the wood prices and other materials is coming down now, I don't see us backing off this block, all right? It offers us too many advantages in building. So I just salute you, brothers, and I send a shout-out to you, and I thank you very much. I speak shalom over your families, and I pray that even more get on board, because you can never have too many block layers. You never can. Hallelujah. But, again, another thank you. Heartfelt appreciation to all of those that gave to the pastoral vacations. It's something y'all laid on my heart years ago. It's very dear to me because I see the benefit of it. I see the things that change dramatically in Israel from a mental and an emotional and a physical and a spiritual, more importantly, mindset when Pastor Dollar and his family gets the opportunity to get away, rest, relax, and just spend time with the Most High. Hallelujah. So as all the funds come in and everything clears, I'll be getting those funds to him like I do immediately. Hallelujah. Now, that's the good note. On a sad note, I have to cover this too. But we had a brother in the faith, Brother Aaron Harrington, out there in the Greenville, North Carolina area. He passed away last week, y'all. Brother Aaron Harrington. Some of y'all know him. He's been around for a long, 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 long time. He's a builder of cars. He know how to build cars up. He know how to fix them when they been in accidents. You know, he was a body man. He was a mechanic. Just loved y'all. Loved the saints. Loved Straightway. Talking with Elder Becker this week. Found out things about Aaron I didn't even know. I know, like, Elder Becker, he spent a lot of time talking with Brother Aaron, and Brother Gideon did, because he was a part of the fellowship down there in North Carolina with Brother Gideon here recently. So those two probably knew him the most and was the closest to him. But I definitely had a relationship with Brother Aaron, especially when he first came along. I spoke to him a lot more and a lot more often, and he gone. You know, and he's out of here, and his race has been complete, and we're praying that the Most High Yah show favor and mercy on him, and he make it into the kingdom. And the one thing I want to touch on about Brother Aaron, and I don't think his family mind me sharing this, because this is his family, Straightway too. This is his family. Brother Aaron committed suicide, y'all. He ended up committing suicide, and you know, that's a hard, harsh reality to come to when you're in the faith, to have that situation take place. That's something we all know should never, never happen. And the type of brother Aaron was, if anybody got to know him on a personal level, you would have never thought that something like that could happen. And I want to speak to the fact of how this situation and this thing works. You know, I want to speak to the elements of this from a spiritual standpoint. Hallelujah. And not a warning, but send out like a cautionary, well, you can call it a warning, you can call it what you want, honestly. I want to inform you. I want you to understand the wiles of the devil. I want you to understand the type of things that are going on in this world. This world is against us. The scriptures is extremely clear in the Psalms. that these nations are confederate against us. They're doing everything in their power to make sure we come down. And I talk extensively with Aaron's sister and his mother, and they were concerned. Now, his sister, she told me she's been following the faith for a long time as well. So I'm excited about the fact that I'll get a chance to meet her, because his funeral arrangements have been made, and I believe that's going to take place on Fourth Day, on Wednesday, in the Greenville, North Carolina area, and I'm going to travel out there. I'm going to leave the day before, and I'm going to get out there and get a chance to meet his natural family and get to see my North Carolina saints and any other saints that make it. I think if you need information on that, you're going to have to reach out to Brother Gideon, right? I know Brother Gideon is not on Marco Polo. That's a big way we reach out to each other. He's not on there. So if you know another saint from North Carolina that's on Marco Polo, if you don't have Ranger's direct line or email for him, you can contact them and they can get in touch with Ranger and they can get the information to you if it's something you want to do. I put on the brothers Marco Polo, right? I put a thing on the brothers Marco Polo GoFundMe. And they actually had done really well. They only asked for $6,500. And before I can even get the information out to you guys, they had raised almost $4,800 already. So hopefully some of you found it in your heart to go ahead and contribute to that and send a little offering over to help out. Because if you've ever had to bury anybody, it's just ridiculous amount of expenses that take place and things of that magnitude. I know Ranger, he was hand-in-hand with the family today, making all of the funeral arrangements. Actually, our brother Ranger, Brother Gideon, he's going to actually do the eulogy. He's going to actually do the eulogy for this brother. So Straightway, of course, will definitely be in the house and we'll be representing it. But what I want you guys to think about is what the scriptures say clearly. One of the things the Most High put on my heart when I had my moment with the Most High and I was really reaching out to him and like, look, I need your truth. If I don't get it, let me go. You see what I'm saying? I'm like, I don't need to be here no more if I can't get your truth. And I had my Jacob moment with the Father, but one of the things he said, now after he told me to keep his commandments, the thing he came right back, because I said, that can't be it. It's got to be more than just keeping the commandment and making sure I honor the fourth commandment. Because though that's the first thing he said, keep my commandments. Then he came back and showed me how important the fourth commandment was, keeping the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. Hallelujah. So I knew it was more, though. And the next thing he said to me is what I'm about to read to you now. And it says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, her curses. For her sins have reached unto the heaven, and Yah hath remembered her iniquities. Now, what I read to you was Revelation 18:4 and 18:5, and that's what Yah put on my heart when he brought me to the truth, when I started walking in the truth. Now, I had a relationship with the Most High when I was in Christianity, because when I was in Christianity, I never called myself a Christian. I never saw it in the book, so I never let people just call me a Christian. I'm like, no, I'm not no Christian. I don't see that in here. Well, what are you? I'm a servant. That's what I told folk. I'm a servant, right? But when I wanted to go to that next level and start walking in obedience, because the Holy Spirit spoke to me for 13 straight years, y'all, and it was obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And it drove me crazy. It drove me crazy because I thought I was being obedient, and all I was doing was sacrificing. Hallelujah. That's all I was doing. So when I finally got that revelation, that understanding, I should say, this is when Yah put this on my heart. And I knew exactly what he was saying. My spirit knew exactly what he was saying. I had to come out of that Christian church that I was a partaker in. I had to get off that six-figure job that I was working. I had to get away from that hometown that I had grew up in, there, all of my dirt and all of my mess, that people were not going to receive me, because they would have remembered Roof Dog. They would have remembered Big Daddy. They would have remembered the basketball player. They would have remembered the football player. They would have remembered the whoremonger. That's all they would have remembered. So they wouldn't have received what Yah was doing through me. And within a month, I was gone. I was gone. But he told me, come out of her. And I knew her was this system. I knew her was his system. Now, mind you, I didn't have the wisdom and the knowledge and understanding I have now, so I leaped out. I went out, total leap of faith. I said, look, I can't have my Social Security card, my Social Security number tied to the system, so I can't go get a job. I'm just going to have to live straight on faith, and I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to go wherever the Father tells me to go, and I'm going to serve wherever he tells me to serve. And I'm not going to have no expectations out of the people. I'm just going to serve is what I'm going to do. And I will trust Yah to take care of me. And I made a bargain with the Father. I did. Now, I'm not telling none of you guys to do this, all right? It worked for me. I can't guarantee it's going to work for you, all right? But I told y'all, I said, I will do it. I'll go. I'll live on faith. I'll serve you. I'll go wherever you tell me to go, these begging Christians, please. I'm not going to go out here and give sob stories and pull on the heartstrings of the people and make the people think that I'm some sorry case and now they want to give a little token money. You see what I'm saying? I said, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that. I will go out in power. I will go out in strength in your name, but I'm not going to be no charity case. And guess what? For 3 years I did that, and he honored me. He honored me. I was never a charity case. The thing that people said the most was, are you some kind of angel? I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not. I believe you, me. I promise you, I'm not no angel. Hallelujah. I'm not. I'm just a man dedicated to do what Yah tells me to do and go where he tells me to go. And again, that was foreign to so many people because it's like, who drops their life? Who stops doing all this stuff? Who gives up all these riches in this world and all this fame and all this accolade and all this popularity? Leaves all of it, leaves his family, leaves his children, leaves his homeland, do all that just to serve the Most High and become poor. Who does that? Well, somebody that truly loves the Most High. Somebody that truly loves the Most High. I'm sorry, my fan was on a little too high, y'all. I got to turn that booger down. It was freezing me. Hallelujah. So I made that agreement with y'all, and I went out and I did that. But I understood what Revelation 18:4 and Revelation 18:5 was saying. Bringing this to your attention today is because the way this is set up, when you go read Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, learn about community living. Learn about having all things common. Learn about selling everything, giving it to the poor, and following Yahshua. When you get to that level, because that's what was required for the rich young ruler to be perfect. Remember the Most High, the Messiah said to him, oh, keep the commandments. Then he quoted a few commandments to him. He said, I've been doing that my whole time, my whole life. Then he said, oh, okay, so you desire to be perfect. You're going to be perfect. Go sell everything that you got and follow me. And that's when the rich young ruler said, couldn't give it up because he had a lot of material things. He had a lot of worldly wealth. To me, none of it was worth it. All of it that I had, I was willing to give every single bit of it up. And I'm saying this to tie all this in together with this conversation about our brother Aaron. Because we're not designed to do this by ourselves. What Yah did, he put me out there, but now he brought me to his people. Why? I was looking for his people. Every time I read that Bible, I understood. I had to find the man of Yah. I knew I was not him. All right? I knew it. I knew that I was not him. I knew I was a leader. I knew I could motivate men to get jobs done, tasks done. I knew I walked in levels of wisdom and understanding. But I also knew that there was a man out there greater than me. I just knew it in my spirit. So I made it my purpose to find that man, find the people, and I knew I would find the spirit of Yah with them. Hallelujah. So that's what I did. 3 years, y'all. 3 years living on faith. But once I got to the people, what did I do? Totally submit, totally obey, and follow what the Most High said through Pastor Dow in the ministry of Straightway Truth Ministry. And now you see the fruit of it. When I got to Straightway, it was just Straightway. Just Straightway. They had one community, which was called Straightway, and they had one assembly, which was called South Carolina. We can't count how many assemblies we have now, y'all. We just can't. We can't. We got 14, 15 communities in a short, you know, a little over a 10-year period, like 11, 12-year period. Look what Yah has done. You can't. Jesus said you will know them by their fruit. You can't deny the fruit that has come from it. You see what I'm saying? But it takes a high level of sacrifice, and you have to be willing to come together. And that's where this thing ties in with our brother, because he was out there, and he was given an effort. Elder Becker told me about how a few brothers came in that area. Aaron was actually hosting Shabbat, you guys. lot of us didn't know that. But for a while, he was hosting Shabbats, and those brothers just kind of fell away. So he was back by himself again. Then the North Carolina Assembly started when Ranger, Brother Gideon, came in. And once they got, you know, they got really, truly 10 toes down, then Elder Becker connected them recently with Brother Aaron, and he started going there. And it was a struggle. It was a sacrifice. Sometimes he couldn't get there. Brothers had to go pick him up. And, I mean, y'all know how it is. Some of you brothers know. Some of you brothers and families, I'm saying, have traveled 5, 6, 7 hours just to come to a fellowship. Pastor makes a statement all the time, and it's so true. Desperate people get deliverance. You're getting the deliverance you need when you pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. That's what you're doing when you press to get the fellowship, when you press to be a part of an assembly, to be a part of a family, where you can, one, be held accountable. Two, you can show thyself approved. That's what you can do. And this thing is designed for us to be together. It's designed for us to do this together because we are one body, tightly fit together. Pastor was just talking about it. How in the world are we going to have a body but the arm is gone? How are we going to have a body and the hand ain't there? The foot's gone. The kneecap missing. All things have to. So for those that want to sit there and talk and act like they can leave the body and we'll be fine, we'll be fine. No, you can't. You can't. It's not designed to function that way. It's not. Now, your fleshly body, you can get away with being maimed and still making it to the kingdom. The book is clear. If your eyes cause you to sin, pluck them boogers out. Pluck them out. It'd be better for you to enter into the kingdom maimed without sin. Stay here and burn in hellfire with them raggedy eyes that's causing you to sin. Now, I put the Elder Rufus special on that, but you get what I'm saying. You get exactly what I'm saying. But you can't compare that to the body of Christ. There's a difference. And that's a spiritual body that's put together by people that have given all, people that will sacrifice everything, people that have decided that the Most High is the most important thing in their life. Nothing else matters more than serving him. And what I found out, he is the greatest father in the world. He is the greatest father in the world. Because when you give all, guess what he does? Give you more than you can handle. It's going to get pressed down. It's going to get shaken together, and it's going to run over. I guarantee it. But it's not going to happen the way you want it to happen. You got to receive the fathers in the ministry that the Most High is saying are your fathers now. You have to receive the mothers that he's saying are your mothers. You have to receive the brothers and the sisters that he's saying are your brothers and sisters. You have to receive the children that he's saying are your children. Some of you have left your children for the sake of the gospel. He'll give you new children. These daughters, these sons around here, guess what I say? Bless you, son. Bless you, daughter. When I hug them, when I pick them up, and I hug their neck and I kiss them because I love them. Now, it may be my brother's daughter. It may be my other brother's son. It may be my sister's son, but they're mine. And they're going to get the same level of love, honor, and respect, and protection that an Ashiah would get, that my own natural children would get. Because honestly, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't love them greater. I got a 2-month-old child. She's about to be 3. I don't love her more than I love my brother's 3 daughters he got across the street. I love them on the same level. I want the same for my daughter that I want for his daughters. You got to have all things common. And it breaks my heart. I'm not tripping. I'm not. It hurts my heart big time to hear the story about my brother Aaron out there, essentially in a situation where he's kind of by himself. He needed more support. And again, he had to put himself in a situation to get it, and he was trying. So this is not a vast process. This is not a, hey, we missed it over here. No. You need to listen closely what I'm saying. Be an example. Let this be motivation. Through it all, let it encourage you to make sure that it does not happen in your life. I don't know how many people, I wish I could get on this phone and show y'all. I wish I could. I wish I could just get on here and show you how many people I talk to on a monthly basis that are wasting the Most High's time right now. How are they doing that, Elder? Because they're playing around. They're not serious. They're not pressing towards the mark. They're not pressing towards the prize, this high calling. I've been telling everybody, we're going to go through high levels of holiness. It's a shift spiritually. You've got to be prepared for this. But you can't do this by yourself. It ain't designed that way. We are a tightly fit unit. We're tight. And if I got five fingers, guess what? I need all five of them functioning at the highest capacity. Because where one part of the body hurts, the book is clear. The entire body hurts. But I think we need to get these basic revelations. Because it will change the way you function when you lay down, when you get up, when you praise the Most High, when you acknowledge him in your day, when you meditate on his word. It's going to change the way you go about it. The saints can tell you, I got that news during Shabbat, y'all. Now, the news came the night before on Pastor Dow's blog talk. So I was trying to reach out. I'm like, hey, email me, because it was just a random person popped in there and said our brother was dead. I didn't know who that dude was. And I said, tell somebody to get in contact with me. I'm putting my information in there, and nothing. But then the next day on service, because, you know, I'm monitoring it for trolls and people that ain't really in there to praise the Most High, right? But I saw another message come through, so I got my information there again. They called me, and I got a sister to call me. Well, she emailed me, you know. So while service is going, I'm listening, but I'm emailing back and forth. And when she told me, it broke my heart. And I'm like, he's with us. He's a part of us. Nobody that's with us and a part of us should ever have to deal with the spirits that will convince you to take your own life. And this is why I'm saying this needs to be like a wake-up call for us. This needs to be motivating. And I mean the words I'm saying. Encourage us to go forward in unity the way it's designed. It makes no sense with us being the premier deliverance ministry in the world. And I ain't bragging. It's just what it is. Show me somebody greater. We'll show you how to support. Definitely in the United States. But then have to go out like this. It broke my heart. It literally broke my heart. It jacked up my fellowship. I mean, we had Elder Mitchell here and his entire family, which, by the way, was a beautiful visit. I mean, love having Elder Mitchell here, his wife, his children, his oldest daughter just cried. She did not want to leave. And I said, sweetie, I know exactly what you're feeling, because this is how I used to feel every time I used to go to Straightway in the beginning. It used to hurt. I used to want to run off that land because I didn't want to leave my family. Now, it's not that I don't feel that same way now, but I don't have to shed the tears. Why? Because I got a greater understanding of what's going on. I'm leaving to come back, and I'm not really leaving. I'm going to do the work y'all called me to do here. You know what I'm saying? If I stay in Tennessee all the time, how the work going to get done in Georgia? That young daughter stays here in Georgia. How is she going to get her work done in Kentucky? So you just got to have an understanding. But what I'm saying to you is we need to look at this situation. We need to look at this scenario, and we need to understand this is not the way y'all wants it to be. When he says, like he says in Revelation 18:4, come out of her, he mean that. So all you folk that live out in California, when Pastor said, look, get out that wicked state. Those that obeyed, glory to the king. Look at the fruit of those saints. Just go and look. A lot of y'all been around long enough. You know the saints that came out of California. Go look at how prosperous all those saints are for following the word that the man of y'all told them. Now, mind you, all he did was repeat what the book said. Look at the saints that came from the state of Washington. Look at the saints that came from Arizona. Look at the saints that came out of New York City area, out that wicked state of New York. Look at the saints that have followed the mandate and came out of the wicked state of Illinois. See, all these states that hinder you from protecting yourself, we tell saints instantly, get the hell out. Get out quickly. Move. Relocate. Why would you stay in that level of oppression but call yourself loving your family and loving your children, and you can't even properly protect them? By protecting them, you've taken a chance of spending the rest of your days behind bars. Get to a place where the law of the land allows you to do it. And that's why we'd be tripping on people talking about, oh, I'm going here, I'm going to this country, and I'm moving out of the United States. It's so bad. Really? Wait till you get to them other places. Yeah, you may have freedoms in other areas, but not to protect yourself. And when crap hit the fan, what you going to do? What you going to do? A rock can't do nothing with a tank. I promise you that. A rock can't do nothing with a tank, y'all. Nothing. Can't do nothing with a tank. Can't do nothing. So, again, I don't want to get totally off. I'm not. It's the same thing. I want us to stay focused. I want us to understand what's going on. These things are going on around us. I'm sharing them with you so that you can get your heart, your mind, your spirit in the right place. If you one of these saints that you know you out there and you kind of by, you by yourself, not kind of, you are by yourself, just you and your family or just you, you need to press to be a part of an assembly. You need to press to become a part of a community. Anybody that's wise is going to weigh the cost of everything. And it ain't like we need your resources. We don't need, no. You need to give them. You need the freedom of giving them so that you can actually have a father that says, okay, yeah, they didn't care nothing about this world, and they're following what they're seeing with Pastor Dial and all the leadership and all the saints and all of these communities that are living debt-free. They have come out of her. They have followed my mandate, and they're living free. They're living at peace. They're living in that Psalms 91 bubble. Hallelujah. Yeah. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High Yah shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. And don't, most of you don't even realize it. And those that are outside that, you need to get a part of it. You need to quit playing. Because that's what you're doing. You think you got time. You don't. You don't know the day. You don't know the hour. And I'm not even talking about the Messiah coming. I'm talking about the day that he knock at your door. I'm talking about that day he knock at your door and wants to sup with you. Will you give all, or will you have a jacked up countenance like the rich young ruler? Because you're thinking about your grandmama. You're thinking about your children. You're thinking about your ratchet husband. You're thinking about this city that I love so much and the conveniences of it. You're thinking about the little raggedy worldly possessions you got that none of them going to fit in the coffin that you go in. None of them are. You came with nothing. You leaving with nothing. Guarantee it. Now, what you should leave this place with, if it gets to that point, is full of the Spirit and waiting to see the kingdom. That's what you should be leaving with. Hallelujah. All right. I think I kind of went on my let's get it together rant. Let's get it together rant. So I'm trying to, even while I'm talking with you guys and sharing this with you, I'm trying to remember some of these questions. I think, let me check my phone, y'all. I might have got some questions in. And we will see if we did. Let me see, y'all. Don't look like it. I may be winging it off the top of my head, y'all. All right, no problem. I see the chat here, but it's not like continually staying up because I'm live. So I'll see some stuff, and it'll be like one or whatever like that. If you got a question, you can put it in the chat here. You what? Oh, okay, great. So Mother Jennifer has a chat open. So if you put it in there, she can get the question, write it down, and then bring it to me. Hallelujah. If you are on Blog Talk Radio, you can type it into the chat room because I can see your chat room clearly. The email is in there if you want to email it to me, because if I get an email right now, I will definitely be able to still pull up the email if it's a question. Hallelujah. I'll still be able to pull that up as we move forward. But again, thank y'all. I do appreciate y'all coming in here, fellowshipping with us tonight. We're going to move forward and get to some of these questions. Hallelujah. I know one of the brothers, he was asking a question, and the question was pertaining to spiritual gifts. Hallelujah. It was pertaining to spiritual gifts. And if I remember his question, let me write this down. If I remember his question properly, what he was asking was pretty much, how do you cultivate that spiritual gift? Oh, bless you, Teacher Shane. Love you, brother. Love you dearly. Thank you so much for everything. Hallelujah. Thank you for being a friend of Pastor Dow, first and foremost. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. So, but he was asking about spiritual gifts. right? And pretty much, how do you develop that spiritual gift, or how do you cultivate that spiritual gift? Like, what are the things you need to do? Like, if you believe you have a spiritual gift, how do you walk in that gift without being offensive to others or things like magnitude? Now, for one, don't worry about being offensive. The things of Yah are going to always offend those that are not, had their mind stayed on Yah. Hallelujah. So if you believe you have a spiritual gift, first and foremost, what Yah will do, he will definitely confirm it with men greater than you. He will do that. He will confirm it with men greater than you. They will put you in positions like the book says. Your gifts will make room for you. Well, who are the people that's going to end up doing that? Well, the men that are in charge. So if you have some level of a gift that all of Israel needs to be a partaker of, the men that are above you, they'll be able to see it, and they will put you in a position where your gift can be a blessing to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, one of the best ways to stir up the gifts is praying in tongues. Another way is to press in your prayer. Now, let me say this, and I'm going to be very, very specific, because you're not fooling Yah. Nobody can fool Yah. You better make sure that this gift you think you have and the desire for this gift is 100% for Yah. You understand what I'm saying? Because Yah is not giving his glory. He's not giving his honor to nobody. So a lot of people, we've seen in the book, we've seen it in the Gospels, how people would come, and even after the Gospels, how people would come and try to make merchandise of the gift and try to, and making merchandise don't necessarily just mean you got to get paid from it. It could just be the fame or the accolades that come from it, the favor, the created and generated favor, not the favor of Yah, though. Hallelujah. So you better make sure. So the first thing I would say is you better get with the Father and make sure your heart is pure in this area. You better make sure this is something he is pressing on you to be doing. Because what will happen is if it's really you and you like, man, I want to help in that, but deep inside you really just want the pats on the back. You really want people to recognize and realize who you are and honor you. See, that ain't what he gives his gifts out for. That's not what he passes his gifts out for. You have to have a selfless mindset going into all the works that you're doing for the Most High, because he gets all the glory. Yeah, he gets all the glory. Brother Shannon, I don't know how to do that, bro. I don't know how to do that, what you're telling me. I'm on my iPad. This is my iPad, Brother Shannon, that y'all are seeing me on for YouTube. And then my computer, it's set up for Blog Talk. So the YouTube is on the iPad. The computer has the switchboard and all that stuff I need for Blog Talk. So I don't know how to give another screen on the iPad. You'll probably walk me through that later and help me out with it, brother, I'm sure. With my base knowledge, I'm doing the best I can. So y'all bear with me. Hallelujah. But let's get back to the question, making sure I'm answering the question properly. The Bible is extremely clear that if you have a gift, it'll make room. It'll make room for you. And men of Yah will know what that gift is, and we will put you in positions so that gift can be a benefit for the saints. Now, if you think there's something there, press the Father in your devotions, in your prayer, and ask him. Hallelujah. Make sure you humble yourself first and foremost, though. Make sure you humble yourself first and foremost. Hallelujah. You've got to humble yourself. Because if not, you can get yourself in a world of trouble. And it's not hard to prove that someone is not gifted, especially in areas of prophecy and things of that magnitude. Because here it is, you're going to go out here and you're going to start saying stuff and doing stuff. But the Bible's also clear with that. You will know them by their fruit. Ain't going to be no fruit attached to it. You're going to have folks looking at you crazy like, what does brother think he's doing? What does sister think she's doing? You know? So, and there's a lot of familiar spirits that have been dragged over from Christianity. Because one thing about Christianity, what it does, y'all, is it tries to manufacture the gifts. It tries to manufacture the power of the Most High. Why? Because they're not, there's no Holy Spirit there. You know what I mean? There's no holy, no true Holy Spirit there. I'm not saying people in Christianity can't be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that. Listen to me closely. But as a whole, for the religion, the Spirit's not attached to it. He's not going to attach himself to something that is based and built on lies. Sunday worship, Christmas, Easter. These are lies. This is the foundation of the religion. This is the foundation of it. So he's not going to do it. So what happens is when you can't do it, you start to manufacture events to pique the fleshly interest of the people. I remember folks just come around, look, my arm, the arms on my, the hairs on my arm are standing up. I'm like, eh? What that mean? That just mean you excited. That don't mean that's the Holy Spirit. You see what I'm saying? I got no confirmation from the book. That's what that is. Then I can sit back, okay, that's fine. Let's watch your lifestyle. Let's see what happens. Let's see if the anointing of the Father is on you, if the power. The Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe. You should go start casting out devils in his name, treading over serpents in his name. Hallelujah. There's certain signs that follow the actual believers. All right? And y'all already know the only thing that's going to stop that is unbelief, because the power is in Christ, not us. Not us. I ain't healed nobody. I've never healed a person a day in my life. Now, has y'all used me to lay hands on people and do it? Absolutely. Many times over. More times than I can even want to count. Hallelujah. I ain't never cast a devil out, ever. Yah hasn't. I've done it in his name. He's used this vessel to cast devils out of most of you. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. So that's another thing. I'm glad we brought that up. We've been working hard here at Straightway, Georgia. We want to take even more of that burden off of Pastor Donovan and the saints there at Straightway. We've been having saints that come. We've been doing deliverance workshops, like real, true, based deliverance workshops where you learn how to love your brother and love your sister, because it's a labor of love to be able to cast a spirit out of them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You need to get free yourself first. So the hub has trained all of us. Now it's time for us to go and do this stuff so they don't have to do it anymore, so they're free to do the higher level things. Y'all have no idea what it takes to plan, to do the logistics, to schedule. y'all have no idea what's required and all of that, the coordination and the cooperation that it takes to do this for 800, 900, 1,000 people coming to each feast, staying for a week, 10 days, 14 days. Traveling from all over the world, all over the country. It takes a lot. So any little thing we can take off Straightway, I'm trying to do. So when sisters show up here, Mother Jennifer, go on over there and have a little quick little two-hour deliverance conference with them real quick, deliverance session with them, and let them tangibly see this is what it should look like. So now, instead of somebody just talking, and then you go out and try to imitate what you think you heard, you get to physically see it. And you get to see the difference in these people's lives, because when these spirits come out, you see they think different, they act different, they walk different, they talk different. They walk in a level of freedom, no more bondage. I answered your question when it comes to how to recognize and how to deal with spiritual gifts. Hallelujah. The Bible is clear. We all should eagerly desire these things, but they should be done in a level of humility, right? Don't desire them for the wrong reason. We got so many examples, especially in the gospel and all that. We got so, in the Acts and all that, we got so many examples of people trying to merchandise and manipulate and use the gifts of the Father for their benefit. That's not going to end good for you. It's not going to end good for you. All right, hallelujah. All right, got a question here. It says, does Yah hear prayers even when the person is in sin? No. No, he doesn't. The book is clear. He don't hear all sins. It talks about in the book how some sins don't even make it past your ceiling. I mean, some prayers don't even get past your ceiling. Hallelujah. But the Bible does also say that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. So if you live in holy and you live in righteous, your prayers are going to avail much. That's what the book says. Hallelujah. So no, every prayer, Yah is not hearing. He's not hearing. Most folk pray from a selfish standpoint. Now, some of that can be kind of winked at when you're at a stage where Yah knows he's working on your heart and stuff, and all you know is what you've been trained in, what you've been programmed in, and the environments and the atmospheres that you grew up in. But once you get into his marvelous light and you get to be around his saints and you get to see these holy and righteous examples, he expects for you to dig deep into that book. Again, study to show yourself approved. You should be worthy of this labor that you're putting forward. Hallelujah. And he wants you to show that in your actions. And that has to be coupled with your faith. You have to trust Yah in these things. And when you do, when you pray, he's going to listen to that. Why? Because your prayer is already going to be formed in something that he desires for his people, not something that you want for your own individual self. Most people are not really praying. They're making selfish petitions to the Most High. And he ain't hearing them. They're not getting past your ceiling. So if you got a 8-foot or 10-foot or 20-foot ceiling, it ain't getting no further than that. It ain't getting no further than that. Hallelujah. All right, we got another question. It says, how do we press during prayer? How do we press during prayer? Let me see the best way to describe this press, all right? Because you hear it all the time. You hear it all the time. What's the best way to describe it so everybody can kind of get a mental visual of what's going on? The best way for me to describe it is when you go in your closet or wherever it is you at and you're praying to the Father and you know it's something of extreme importance, it's like you go and you're like, look, I'm not, and this is what I do, I'm not letting up. I'm not letting up. I'm staying here until I get an answer. Care if I got to come back every single day until I get an answer. That's pressing. Hallelujah. When you put on Yah, and he said, try me. He tells you, bring his word before him. So do it. So do it in your prayer. Y'all remember the story of Daniel when he sent up his petition of prayers, and the Most High heard it the first day. He heard it instantly. But the things that was going on in the heavenlies, in the spirit realm, we couldn't see, delayed the answer coming down for 21 days. Now, the good thing is he kept praying, though. He was pressing. Imagine if he would have stopped on day 10, day 12, day 18, 20. Imagine if he would have stopped. But see, you got to know what's important to Yah and what to press and instead of spinning on your wheels, because that'll drive you crazy. Think about it. If you make something important, but it ain't important to Yah, and you press and press and press and press, and you ain't getting no answer, now you're giving place for the devil to come in and say, oh, okay, I thought this Yah loved you. I thought he cared about you. I thought he answered the prayers of the righteous. You doing this, you doing this, you doing this. And he ain't listening to you. Y'all know the devil always want to come with accusations. So what you got to make sure is this is something that needs to be pressed. Yah has actually put it on your heart. He's not letting it go. You go about your day and it constantly keeps coming back. In a good way, though. You see what I'm saying? Not in a guilt way, not in a shameful way, not in a condemnation way. Now, unless you a sinner, now you a sinner out there sinning, he going to press you like that, press you like that. If you a sinner, he going to press you like that, okay? To change your wicked ways. Because how can he sup with you? How can he fellowship with you? He don't have no fellowship with the unrighteous. And you out here willfully sinning, but claiming to be one of his chosen. So, yeah, that could get ugly for you. But I'm talking about the righteous that's living holy and living set apart and loving the Father and doing everything in their power to do, not to try, but to do what is required of them, accepting their roles in the body, you know. That person, keep pressing. Keep pressing. If you're righteous, your prayers going to avail. They will. And I'm just going to keep it real with y'all. I am noticing that y'all not taking a lot of time now. You know, and I'm not one of these dudes going to get up here and predict when Jesus comes. I would never do that because I know exactly what the books say. But, boy, I can tell you we're closer. I can feel it. Spirit, we're closer because he's not wasting a lot of time. It's like the patience is gone or something. It's like he loves us, but you've had your chance. Now I'm cutting you loose. You want to be with the world? Go be with the world. And those that are dedicated and serious, they come in and they get in communities just like that. I think it's a shame, and I'm going to just keep it real. I think it's a shame if you've been in this ministry 8, 9, 10 years and you ain't on community, all these people that are coming that's on community already, you've been around 5, 6, 7 years. I'm talking about connected. Not the people that's not totally connected. I ain't talking about you. I'm not talking about you people that, hey, I'm with Straightway, but you've never been to Straightway. You've never come to a feast. You don't fellowship, because some of you will come to the feast, but you don't fellowship. Do y'all know we got people that live right here in Georgia that don't fellowship with us? We got Straightway Georgia. We got Straightway Georgia East. We got Straightway Cleveland. We got Straightway Bama. All of us is in a nice little radius. And we have people right amongst us that don't fellowship, but they'll get before you and act like they're the greatest saints of all time. What is that? They're going to be the ones that find themselves on the outside, I'm telling you. It's not enough just to be connected. You need to be joined with Straightway. Hallelujah. Well, Straightway ain't the only ministry. Okay, go find the other one then. The book is clear that the Most High scattered his people to the four corners of the earth, right? We all agree with that, right? Well, this is a corner. You don't live in two corners of the earth. You don't live in three corners of the earth. You don't live in four corners of the earth. You live in one. So this is what you get. Now, if you want to get up and move to Bangladesh, you may have another chance. I don't know. But I don't see that in the book, where we just get to pick and choose which man of Yah we want to submit ourselves to. No, you're the type of person, you ain't going to submit to nobody no ways. You think you got all the answers. You're going to find yourself ass, hallelujah. But this pressing, it should be a something in you that's just pressing you. Hey, get an answer, get an answer. Stay before Yah. And your heart and mind got to be there too. If you worried about the things of this world, Yah not going to force you to think spiritually. He's not going to force you to think on these things. He ain't going to do it. But if your mind is stayed on the things of the Most High, then he can nudge you. He can unction you. And then you can press, you can press, you can press, you can press, because it's something for him, not for you. Now, we all end up benefiting because we're his children. Hallelujah. We're part of the body. But that's how you press. Now, hopefully that helped. Hopefully I help you with that. Hallelujah. Question rolling in, huh? Go ahead and put it down. Why? That ain't no good? Same one? Okay. Hallelujah. Ministry has taught me so much over the years. But how can I know the voice of the Most High? I am a work in progress thanks to this ministry. Well, hallelujah. And I'm going to go from the back up on your statement. All of us are, quote-unquote, a work in progress. But what you got to get and understand in your heart and mind, the work has already been done. You just have to walk it out and fulfill it. See, we've been predestined for this day and this hour and this time, for this calling, right? You've been predestined. You can listen to this minute and this minute. You've been predestined. But the book is still clear. Many are called, but only a few are chosen. You're going to have to make that decision. See, the rich young ruler was called, but he wasn't chosen because he wasn't willing to give up everything to be with the Messiah, to follow the Messiah. So you got all the inspiration, you got all the encouragement, all the power from Yah to walk this thing out. He is giving you enduring substance. You just have to let it manifest. Now, as we move up, how do you do that? All right? Because you said you've been taught a lot of stuff over the years. Apply those things. Do those things. Don't make excuses for those things. Because you've seen from the ministry, they work. For Yah, they work. That's another form of pressing. You just get up with your heart and your mind made up every day. I'm going to serve the Most High Yah. I'm going to do whatever I'm told to do. If I have people that are above me, I'm going to follow what they tell me to do. Obey them that have the rule over you. Yah has to establish his order again. This world is lawless. You haven't seen that? It's lawless. They don't care about nobody. They don't care about no laws. Everybody, every man for themselves is exactly what Satan wants. Do as thou wilt. That's the only commandment that fool got. He wants you to think that whatever you think is truth so you can do it so that you can end up in the same place he in. No, Yah has commandments. He has statutes. He has precepts. He has orders. He has judgment. And they're all righteous. Hallelujah. So submit yourself. Submit yourself to these things and you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Well, what if I got a crazy fool over me? Let Yah deal with that. I get a lot of sisters that, man, what if my husband. Hey, if you got a POS for a husband, let Yah deal with him. He gave you actual instruction on how to win an unbeliever, did he not? He gave you the instruction on how to win an unbeliever through your chaste lifestyle conversation. But I think it's a bad translation because when you hear conversation, you think talk, run your mouth. And that's not what he's talking about. He said let your lifestyle be so holy that it brings about the fear of Yah on your unbelieving spouse. How many want to sacrifice to that level? Or is it easier for you to make excuses because, well, he don't do this and she don't do this and he don't do this and she don't do this? You can have excuses all day. It ain't going to win that spouse. How about loving that spouse more than you love yourself? How about thinking about that spouse more than you think about what you think you need? And I'm going to tell you right now, one or two things are going to happen. That's it. The fear of y'all going to come over them and they're going to repent and they're going to turn from their wicked ways and they're going to be the best spouse you ever had. Or the pressure going to mount and they're not going to be able to take it and they're going to leave. And if they wicked and hard in their heart, I have seen in the book where Yah has just taken them out. Flat out. You can be so holy as a spouse that he'll just kill your spouse. There ain't no need for them. They reprobate in heart. They reprobate in mind. What good do they have? But let Yah do that, not you. Not you, because you'll go, were we not talking about this yesterday? Power that tongue. That tongue, boy, woo. Holds life and death. My. And the things you say with that tongue could speak life or death over yourself. You speaking death. He didn't tell you to do that. He told you let your chaste conversation win over the unbelieving spouse. That's what he said. So follow the instruction. Follow the instruction. Now, I tell people all the time, you can't come in here bashing them to me. You know why? Because I'm going to look at you and be like, you picked them. I don't remember putting you in a headlock, having a gun in your head, saying, you're going to marry this booker. I didn't do that. You chose that person for whatever reasons you did. Now, you made the bed, now lie in it. Now, here's the good thing, though. You can always repent from your wicked ways. You can always get into your role and let Yah deal with them. You think Yah wants to see a precious flower of his, a precious child of his, submitting and obeying 100% under some tyrannical rule? You think that's what he wants to look at every day? Mm-mm. But most of you don't have the intestinal fortitude. Most of you are too selfish to let Yah do what he said he would do. If he told you it's going to take you 10 years to do it, you'd be like, oh, hell no, I ain't with that. Now, mind you, you've been a hellion for 20. You've been a hellion for 20. He's telling you all it'll take you is 10. See, you got to go into it knowing that whatever time you say, Father, I'm with it. I'm fine, Father, whatever time. You want it tomorrow? Great. You want it 10 years from now? 100 years from now. Whatever you want, I'm with. Them the ones that he can bless. Hallelujah. All right, so hopefully I answered that question. and make sure I got everything. How do you know? Can I know the voice of the Most High? The voice of the Most High is still small voice, and it's going to lead you to green pastures. It's going to lead you to holiness and righteousness. The voice of the Most High is never going to get you to go do something that's wicked. Problem is, if your mind is jacked up, if your mind is jacked up, you have turned those things, like the book said, the things that are bad are now good, and the things that are good are now bad. The things that are holy, you look at them as evil. And the things that are evil, you look and say they're holy. You'll know them by their fruit. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Hey, we're rolling through these questions, man. We're an hour in, and we're going to ask about 47 questions. No, I'm playing. Bless y'all, saints, again. I appreciate y'all coming. I appreciate y'all fellowshipping with me. I hate that I had to miss last week. I wasn't going to let nothing stop me this week. Now, mind you, I was supposed to be on the road headed to Texas today, and I had it so committed in my heart. I'm like, we're going to get up early. We're going to leave early so I can get to the spot and get set up, and I was going to do it from the hotel, y'all. I was still going to be here with y'all. I wasn't missing it. I wasn't going to miss this week. I had to last week because I was traveling, and, you know, I was like, I don't want to be out there. One little thing happened. I got to wait an extra 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes. Now I'm pressing, driving fast, trying to get back just to do the – I couldn't do it. You see what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm traveling. Push me to another week. This week, I made sure, even if I was traveling, I was still going to be here for fellowship. Hallelujah. So I'm not traveling to Texas. That's been postponed. I got to do it still, but that's going to be done down the road. But I will be beat-footing it out of here. What pastor say, get in your pickup truck? I'll be in my little pickup truck. It's actually going to be a car because it's just me. And and be headed to North Carolina. I will be leaving to go to North Carolina to be there for my brother Aaron's homegoing service. Yep, I will be there for that. Hallelujah. Y'all willing, you know, unless something else come up that's more pressing. But as of right now, it looks like y'all's going to allow me to go. So, and I want to be there. I want to be with the saints there to support them. I want to be there with his family to support. And like you said, his sister said she's part of faith, and the mom is just, it's been, you know, even in this tragedy, it's been encouraging speaking to them. They're hurting, but at the same time, they're not losing faith. And that's how we have to be. You know, there is an inevitable end for all of us. We just don't know how it's going to be, when it's going to be, where it's going to be. You know what I'm saying? I'm not promised. None of us are promised tomorrow. You know? So I don't know. I don't know. I'm saying I'm going there, but what if y'all say, you're done, Elder? You've done enough. And I don't wake up. You know? You got to be prepared for that. I'll be dead. I'll be, hey, hallelujah. I'm ready. But I'm also ready and more than willing to serve. I want to do what Yah desires for me to do. So I don't care if that means I got to stick around this book 119 years and 363 days. I'll do whatever he says. I am a willing slave to the Most High. I'm a willing servant. He don't want robots. He wants us to be cheerful givers of our efforts, our times, our everything. Because he's the one to give us strength and power to get it anyway. I never lose focus of that. Hallelujah. All right. Next question says, okay, so when we are in sin, that's just hard for me to even function. Why are we in sin? I'm sorry, that kind of like took me back. Why are we in sin? I mean, we love Yah, and he's done what he's done for us. We shouldn't be living in sin. All right, let me go. Does it says, how do we connect to him? Like in sin, king for forgiveness. Huh. Okay. So when we are in sin, how do we connect with him? You don't. Why would you? This is, okay, let me really break it down. This is how you connect to him when you don't sin. Repent. Turn from your wicked way. And see, it's not a verbal confession. That's the problem with people. They think repentance means open up your mouth and say something. Now, it does mean that. But that's not all it means. That's not even the main crutch of what it means. That's just a portion, a small portion of the process. The main thing you need to do is turn, old backsliding children. Turn, meaning I'm here sinning. I'm turning, and I'm going the total opposite way. And you don't do a 360, which brings you back to the same spot. You do a 180 to get as far away from that as possible. So if you here, you do here, and you do this, now you're going that way instead of going this way. So when you out there sinning and you want to connect with the Father, repent, turn from it, and never go back to it. If you claim to repent, claim, listen to what I'm saying. If you claim to repent and you do good for a week, two, and then you go back to it, you haven't repented. You haven't repented. You asked for forgiveness, but you haven't repented. Repentance is what moves the heart of Yah. A heart and mind change is what moves Yah. A lot of folks have functioned in asking for forgiveness for a lot of years, and Yah has showed you a lot of grace. We are at higher levels of holiness, though. I'm not going to talk to you like you're a novice. I don't care if it's your first day in this. If you can listen to this ministry, you can listen to Pastor Dow preach, you can handle, you don't have to sin. You were a sinner, but you do not have to practice and live a lifestyle of sin just because you make a mistake in something from a lack of understanding don't necessarily mean it's a sin. But what we would do is take a sin and categorize it as a mistake. See, a mistake is when something happens where your intent was not for that to take place. Everybody understand that? Your intent, hey, I'm going here, and I reach in the crayon box, and I pull out a crayon, and it look blue, and I start writing, and it come out red, and I'm like, oh, man. Oh, the lighting. I thought it was blue, it's red. Tent was to do blue on that paper. But I don't go in here and get the crayon out the box, see clearly under the light, it's red, and say, you know what, though? Let me try to write this and make people think that this is blue. That's what the majority of wicked people do. Now, I don't expect that kind of behavior out of the saints of the Most High, Yah. Again, you didn't get called into this marvelous light to stay sinning. Again, another reason why you need to be around your brethren. You need to be around these assemblies. You need to be on these communities and around them. Why? So you can be held accountable. Put yourself in a position where you can be held accountable. I am an elder in Israel. Hallelujah. And there are things that y'all don't even require me to be held accountable in. But guess what? Not only with men, even with my shias, I put myself in a position to be held accountable. They don't have no authority over me. But they love Yah. They love Yah more than they love me. And I'm good with that. That's how it better be. Because when I'm gone, who you going to have? Who you going to have? You still going to need your relationship with the Father more than ever then. Hallelujah. So that kind of threw me off. Because it started off by saying, so when we in sin, whoa, when are we in sin? When we in sin? I'm not in sin. I had a hard time grasping and relating to that because I'm in the Messiah and I ain't trying to do nothing to separate me from the love of Yah. Oh, no. Sin is a deterrent. Sin is a separation. Yah can't dwell in these unclean vessels. Now, don't get me wrong. As your heart and mind says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. While you're going through that process, you may have sinful thoughts. That don't mean you got to act them out. And if you sin, repent. Turn. I know that most of the time when folks get filled with the Holy Spirit, they commit some of their most grievous sins. Do you know why? That's from a lack of that's from a level of ignorance, though, y'all. You think that you're right in these areas, and you're not. You think you got it all together in these areas, so y'all has to humble you and show you, no, you ain't got it together here. We call it poo-pooing on yourself. Pastor Dow coined that, come behind you and have to get the toilet paper out and clean you up all the time. You're always crapping on yourself. But Yah knows the intent of a person's heart. A lot of times, these environmental things that have been programmed into us, it takes time to get rid of it. If you've been walking around with this darn demon for 30 years, you think you're gonna, it's just going to go in 2 days? Sometimes, most of the time, it takes longer than that. And you need to get a full revelation of what's really going on so that when he who the Son sets free can be free indeed, 100% free. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. So praise Yah. Bless the Most High Yah. Hallelujah. No more questions. All right. So, hey, we've been rolling for about an hour and 20 minutes, y'all. Y'all already know how Elder get down. You already know. Check the email. Check the email. Let me check. Because if it ain't no questions, we done. Hallelujah. So honestly, though, y'all, hopefully some of you were able to contribute, help out Brother Aaron's family. Y'all already know how Straightway do it. We're going to go in strength. You already know that. We're going to go in strength. We're going to go above and beyond. And the thing that makes this one not different, a little, I don't even know the word to use, is that none of us besides Brother Gideon and the saints out there in North Carolina, we never got a chance to lay eyes on our brother. We never got a chance to hug him and kiss his neck because he never made it to the feast. He never made it to Straightway. And that hurts. It doesn't mean he's not a part of us, though. You know, I was telling Brother Gideon, and I was like, man, me and Pastor Dow just talked about this brother a few months ago because we were like, it was several brothers that, thank you, there were several brothers that we recognized, like, okay, they've been around a while. We've been seeing their face. They've been on social media. They've been doing this, but they've never been to the hub. They've never been here for the feast. And, you know, we commanded by the Most High 3 times a year to show up where he placed his name on. You know what I mean? So we expect brothers to make it to the feast, sacrifice, use your vacation. I don't care what you got to do. I don't care if you quit a job. Now make sure you take care of your family. You better do that in the name of the Most High, Yah. Because I've seen brothers quit jobs and then put that responsibility on other responsible brothers. I remember when I was still working in the world, I would come to the feast, and the days that we're supposed to have off, I took them off. Served as an elder, served in capacity, worked, did whatever, and then like, hey, Pastor, I got to go back for 2 days. And I would drive back, work 2 days, come back for the days that's off again. I mean, back forth. It's a sacrifice, y'all. It's a sacrifice. And for me being willing to do that and be an example, now I get to go. I'm free to be there for the whole feast. Why? Well, look at all the folk that are coming. Who are they coming to see? They're coming to see the Most High Yah, right? Are they not? They're coming to see the Most High Yah. Well, where are they going to see that through, though? When they sit down with the pastors and they sit down with the elders and the deacons and the leadership and glean from them and learn from them so that they can get to that point. And it's like a crash course in a week or a few days that you're there. But it takes a high level of sacrifice. Got to press, saints. You got to be desperate to be amongst your people. And you got to be desperate to learn our ways. A lot of us come in and we just want to stay the way we were. You've been raised in an American hood culture. You've been raised in an American country trailer trash culture. You've been raised in an American suburban culture. You hadn't been raised in a Hebraic culture. You hadn't been raised in the things of Yah, and they're being restored. So you need to be freely, 100% open to learn these ways. I mean, let's think about it. The Apostle Paul, he grew up as a Pharisee, right? So he was trained from day one in, quote, unquote, the ways of the book, right, of the law. But when he had that experience on that Damascus road, he saw the Messiah. Even himself had to humble himself through the blindness. Even himself had to go before tutors and governors to be trained on the Hebraic way, not this religious Roman way. So one of the greatest men that ever walked this earth had to humble himself and be taught and trained
and instructed and guided. But you don't. You don't. And you see all through the book, men of authority, men of power, humbling themselves and saying, hey, how am I supposed to understand this if I don't have a man to guide me in this? But you don't need a man, right? You got all the answers. You know what? We're going to watch your answers too. We're going to watch your answers. We're going to see the fruit or the lack thereof that comes from you making the decisions and not following the things of the Most High Yah. Hallelujah. We got another question. All right. I wonder who asked this. This question says, Elder, do you believe the best way to get a woman is to let the woman come to you? No. I don't believe that at all. And the reason I don't believe that is because I don't see it in the book. I have zero book to back up that thought. If you're doing it from a Hebraic standpoint and you're doing it in holiness and righteousness, your father should be picking that for you. He going to be a better judge, like Pastor Dow said, of cattle than you are. So let's just say we have young men in this ministry that desire to be married, and they have submit themselves to Pastor Dow, to Pastor Corey, to Elder Becker or myself, right? We really should be the ones kind of, hey, have you thought about this, sister? That's how it should go. If you want to give it from a Hebraic standpoint, doesn't mean that you can't see your sister, be attracted to her, like her, whatever, and then make it known. I'm just telling you from the experience we have, and y'all seen all the beautiful marriages that we've had. It don't normally go down like that. It don't rock like that. It don't go down that way where a brother just say, hey, I'm interested in her. And all you know about her is that she's pretty. She's pretty and she's part of Straightway Georgia. So let me let Elder Rufus know. See, the world make you think that if you put your bid in first, you get first dibs. That ain't how it work, bro. That ain't how it work at all, especially with my daughters. You can forget that. You forget that. You're going to have to be some kind of man to get one of my daughters. I can tell you that right now. And they ain't going to accept trash. They seeing what their pop's doing. They living up under their pop's rule. And they like, Papa don't play. So my husband ain't going to be able to play. Hallelujah. And, again, you need community for this. We have young daughters come here and learn the ways of how to be a wife, how to just be a delicate flower, a young daughter of Zion. Because a lot of times the world hadn't had a chance to teach them. Their parents were so tied up in the atmosphere of the world, they didn't teach them these basic things. So those that have been through it, now they can do it. Focus on getting their heart, getting their mind wrapped around the things that they need to do. I had to go through that myself, y'all. Y'all think I'm telling people to do this stuff, and I ain't done it? My 17-year-old daughter packed up and moved up the Straightway. She was a virgin. Now, her parents weren't, you know what I'm saying? We ain't got no experience with that. So she went up there and learned things that we could not teach her. And I'm telling you right now, when I go and I'm around my daughter's husband, my son-in-law, I give him a hug, I kiss him on his neck, and the first question I ask him, cause you no problems, is you? And the look on his, man, like, whoo, like she's a breath of fresh air every single time. She's such a blessed, hallelujah, that's what it better be. Because how is she going to have a father that's 100% sold out, submitted, obedient, serve, and you ain't going to do it? Like hell you ain't. Not coming from my house. That's who we are. That's what we committed to do. You don't like that? Go to somebody else's house. Go be somebody else's child. Because in this house, you're going to do what the hell I tell you to do. But you ain't going to be here. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. But no, I don't know. No, that's not the best way. The best way is to submit yourselves to they that have a rule over you. So if you have a father and he is holy and he is righteous and he is in the faith, seek his guidance. That's the best way. Seek his guidance. Hope I answered that question. Hallelujah.
Glory to the King. All right, y'all. We here. One more question. Oh, that's a good one. All right. It says, what is your biblical opinion for people that you know are faking about being in the truth and you are related to them? I'm on the verge of cutting ties. You are in a good place. You are in a good place. The question is, pretty much, what do you do to people that you know not serious about the truth, but they're your natural family members? What do you do with them? And I think you're saying it right. You cut their tails off. You do. The Bible is extremely clear. Jesus made it very, very clear. If you don't love him more than you love your mother, your father, your children, your wives, your everything, if you don't love him more, you're not worthy of his kingdom. You're not. Can get on board? Great. If those folk could not hinder you in your faith, great. They could be what the Bible terms as friends of the ministry, right? As long as a person is not hindering your faith, they're not a problem to you. They're not a problem to you. But they start to hinder your faith with their comments, with their slick questions, with their underlying attitudes, with their even greater than suggestions, with their commands, because some of these people that think they have authority over you, mothers, fathers, grandparents, whoever, older siblings, whoever, children, whoever, because the book said they are our oppressors and women will rule over us. So a lot of times they take this position. But when you are in the truth, you submitted to the Most High Yah and the government and order he set up. Yeah, flat out. I have more honor for Elder Becker than I do my natural dad. Now, he's passed, but he was never in the faith. Would I honor my dad? Oh, absolutely, I did. I was there for him in his dying day. I was the only one there, right? But I didn't have more respect for him than I did for Elder Becker because Elder Becker's in the way. His life is dedicated. If Elder Becker told me to do something, 100% I'm going, 100. My dad, I'm going to have to process that, bro. Let me make sure that your request is a holy request. Because if it's holy under Yah, I'll do it. If not, you can forget it. Ain't going to happen. I tell people all the time, if a person is vexing you, your spirit is vexed, when you come around, you get heavy, all this stuff, you lose your joy, get away from that individual. What are they adding to you? You're not honoring them by allowing them to treat you like a doormat. Where did you see that? Where did you learn that? You don't find that in the book. Y'all remember the parable. Y'all remember the story. Jesus was teaching, right? He was teaching, and there was a knock at the door. It was Jesus' mother and his brothers. And they said, Jesus, your mother and your brothers at the door. They come to check on you, pretty much. Hey, we want to check on your welfare, Jesus. You've been out here running around the whole countryside. We ain't seen you, bruh. Where you been? They at the door. And the one thing you don't hear was him tell, open the door, let him in. You never heard that. His response was, who is my mother and my brother? My brothers. Then he pointed at all these people that were sitting there listening to him talk that go on these journeys and support him and follow him. He said, they that do the will of the Father, they are my mothers and my brothers. You got to take on that mindset. They doing the will of the Father, that becomes your mother. If they doing the will of the Father, that becomes your brother. If they doing the will of the Father, that becomes your child. Why do you think I walk around here and call them daughters and sons, and I didn't bring them into this world? They're doing the work, and I'm old enough to be their daddy or old enough to be their granddaddy in this day and age. You understand what I'm saying? You have to accept that. I have children in the world that will not follow this faith. Why would I care about what they're doing when I got all these children here that I see every single day cleaning, cooking, gardening, chickens, you name it. You name it. Going to school, being obedient, praising the Father, worshiping the Father, being obedient to their parents, learning the ways of the Most High Yah. Why would I care about a heathen just because they came through my loins that don't love my Yah?
Why would I care? Most of the saints here don't even know my children's name that's out there in the world like that. Why? I ain't talking about them because I'm so busy talking about them. Because they're the ones getting the work done. They're the ones I'm sacrificing for every single day to make sure they got everything they need to be successful in Yah, to stay encouraged in Yah, to be an example. Tell you right now, it was beautiful. Elder Mitchell then was here, and his oldest daughter, Abigail, and Brother Vernon's oldest daughter, man, they blew some buddies. I don't know how to describe it. They got genuine Hebrew love for each other. And these are, how old are these girls? 5, 6 maybe? Yeah. Abigail and Hannah and I. And they cried, they cried, they cried when y'all separated because they've been together for 4 days. But you could just see the wellspring of love from them. Together, they cleaned chicken together. They cleaned up together. They served saints together. They did all that together. And I'm supposed to be worried about what a heathen child I had 30 years ago that don't care nothing about my Yah. I ain't sacrificing nothing for my Yah. I'm supposed to care about what they're doing and not care about what they're doing? No, we got it backwards. We got it twisted. We got it twisted. We elevate and we praise and we give importance to things that should not be important. The book should tell us what's important, not this wicked, jacked up society. I sent a video to Pastor Dow today that one of the mothers here sent to me. They was having a drag queen show in New York City, drag queen show. Guess what a show was at, though, y'all? Right in the middle of a Catholic church. Packed house, too. Man, come on. And that's the stuff I want my children, my family exposed to? No, I don't think so. We'll live a quiet, peaceful life out here in the country. I go outside right now, and you ain't going to hear nothing. Maybe a dog bark. Maybe. That's it. Quiet, peaceful. We'll be self-sufficient. And we'll take care of our own and be prepared for what's coming down the pipeline. We'll be prepared. Is it still possible to give something towards Shepherd's Vacation Offering this coming week? If you give it this coming week, what I'm going to do with that is I'm going to put it, because we do them, he has three Ashias, so we do it 3 times a year. We do it in the middle of the year here in July, end of July. We do it a month after Tabernacle ends, so that's normally in November, right? And then we do it again like a month before Passover comes in the spring, all right? So if you send money now, this week sometime, I will put that the next one. I do the cutoff dates for a reason. Yeah. So now tonight, you send it tonight, it's getting in there. Every bit comes in tonight because there still be some still coming in tonight. I get brothers that send it, you know, depending on their work schedule or whatever, they'll send it 10 minutes before midnight. Now, for us as Hebrews, you look outside, it's dark, that's the end of our day. So technically it's over when the sun goes down because our day ends when the sun goes down. We are into day 2 now. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. But you send it, it will get to him. It just may not be in this vacation package. It may be in the next. Hallelujah. And each time there's money that always rolls over and gets the pot started again for the next time. So and the saints and the brethren have been doing an incredible job giving, showing their love for Pastor. And, again, I know this word is encouraging y'all. It's cutting you like a two-edged sword. I know. It's getting you. We full of tears here in Georgia. It's just like, golly, gee, woo, this just these things that we've read so many times. Y'all's just bringing out greater levels of understanding. And he commands us in all that we do. We need to get an understanding. But then he gives us a pastor after his own heart that's going to feed us with knowledge and understanding. Man, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for a man like Pastor Charles Dow to sacrifice the way he did. Made it easy to follow. Made it easy to follow. Very easy. And I tell people all the time, I want to be a leader. The best way to show you a leader is show you know how to follow. I don't know a great leader. I don't know one great leader that didn't have to follow. in great levels of submission. Had to. So you think you some kind of leader? I'll know that by the way you follow the people that are above you, the way you honor the people that are above you. And you know this world, they honorless. They honorless. They lawless. They honorless. They have no respect for nothing. I mean, these young folk will make you want to just take their tail out, flat out, because they're so dishonorable, so disrespectful, have zero care, zero concern. But you have to stay level-headed. You have to stay in the love of Yah. You have to, because that's all designed to get you off course and get you off track. Hallelujah. Saints, this has been beautiful. I think we out of questions. We've been rolling about 1 hour and 35 minutes, 1 hour and 40 minutes. I've enjoyed the fellowship. Praise Yah. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Bless the Most High Yah. I'm sorry for the other brother. The whole time I was trying to remember what your question was, and I couldn't remember it. So I will write it down and put a sticky note on my computer so that when I'm back up in 4 or 5 weeks, however Teacher Shane does that, I will make sure that I read your question first for the saints. Because I think that brother, he's a wiser older man. He probably already has the answer and understanding. It's more probably asking for you saints. He's probably asking it more for you saints. But I still want to ask it because that's the format of the show. If you got questions, the book got the answers. Now, some of y'all can see I'm not one of these brothers that will, you know, turn to this, turn to this, turn to that. I just speak the book. So you're going to have to be diligent. You're going to have to be like a Berean and go back, listen, and try to look up these things. When I said the book says or Jesus this or Paul this, I'm just quoting. You know what I'm saying? And I kind of been that way for a long time because I remember back just watching the Christians. It kind of bothered me back in the day when I was young in my early 20s, and I used to see people just thump scriptures, thump scriptures, thump scriptures. And I'm like, man, this book got the book memorized, but he ain't living it. He ain't doing none of this stuff. He can tell me what the book say, but where's the example? So I made up in my heart, my mind, then I don't want to just be one of these scripture quoters. I want to be somebody that actually lives it out so you can look and see, okay, I can attach to that. I can grab hold of that and do what he's doing. Instead of just, okay, yeah, he told me this, and I look all studious, and I got 27 scriptures written down, and then I go back and I study them, and I read them, and don't do shit. Still sitting there with a bunch of excuses. Now, if you in here and you ain't hit the like button, hit the like button. If you in here and you're not subscribed to this channel, on YouTube, subscribe to this channel. This is what you get here. Hallelujah. This is about life. This is about the word of Yah. This is about our journey as a people. And it's called restoration that we're in right now. So if you're over here looking for something else, you ain't going to find that here on this channel. I may go to other channels and talk about that stuff, but not on this channel. This channel is about Straightway Truth Ministry and the things that the Most High Yah is doing through Straightway Truth Ministry here at this front in Georgia and all throughout this ministry, because the ministry is stretched throughout the whole world. This is a worldwide ministry. Hallelujah. But to us, it's not a lot of folk. When you look at the numbers compared to what's in the world, what is it, 7 billion, 7.5 billion people in the world? No, we're very, very small. We're not even a blip on most people's radar, which is the way it should be. But Yah will always, and I say always, have a remnant. He will always have a people that will serve him in spirit and truth, and he will anoint them with his power. Hallelujah. He will fill them with his spirit. Glory to the King. And that is your seal right there. That's what you need, to be filled with his spirit. So if you're somebody that haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, ask the Father to fill you with his Holy Spirit. He'll do it. Man, Pastor Dow's got a – man, go on the Straightway Truth website, straightway.com or straightwaytruth.com. Pastor Dow's got a beautiful book on there that talks about how to receive the Holy Spirit. It'll help you. That's what I did. I was humble in my request, and I just asked. And guess what? I pressed. I wasn't going to quit till I got it, because I see in the book how important it is to have his spirit and to be led by his spirit. I see exactly how important it is. Sorry, y'all got a, okay. I got an email coming in. I thought it might have been a question, but it's not. Receiving his Holy Spirit, especially in this hour, what's the Holy Spirit's job, y'all? Is it not to lead and guide us to all truth? Oh, we need a spirit. We need a spirit. Hallelujah. All right, saints, we're going to shut this down. I don't have any more questions. I appreciate the fellowship. We ran it for a while. This is good. I will shut down the YouTube part, but we have a exit song that we play over on the blog talk part. And so we will definitely play that blog talk. And then I'm going to sign out. Again, shalom, shalom, shalom. Bless you all. Thank you all for coming for the fellowship. And I'll try to post it maybe on my page and other avenues so everybody kind of know when I am going to be coming back on and we can fellowship. Hallelujah. Bless you all. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Oh, I hit the wrong one. There we go.
Depression in the name of Jesus.